all right. No problem. And so we're about to, my family's here as well. You'll see some of my 9 children.
Woo.
And so you'll see a bunch of them running around. A couple of them are part of the camp this week. A bunch of them are too young to be part of camp this week. And you'll see the meal times and those kind of things. And certainly we're looking forward to getting to know many of you. I know just a couple of you, not most of you here this week. And so I look forward to that. And this might help me a little bit. Just a little bit, where are folks from? I know we've got some people from North Carolina. Where are North Carolina people? Raise your hand high. Yeah, I know we've got some North Carolina. All right, good. All right, I think we have some folks from Ohio. We have Ohio people here. I know we have at least one over here. All right, Mr. Beck, of course. All right. At least one. All right, good. Now let's see. Pennsylvania. Anybody here from Pennsylvania? All right, yeah, that's most. Where else did I miss? Maryland. We have any other? So who else from Maryland? Raise your hand high. All right, there we go. Good. Some proud Marylanders. What do you call Maryland? If you remember.
I have no idea.
Call you here. Okay. Right. Anybody else besides Maryland? I saw a license plate from New Jersey. Is there somebody here from New Jersey, or that was just a rental car? New Jersey. Okay. All right. Awesome. All right. New Jersey. Anywhere else? Wisconsin. I got a couple of Wisconsin people. Yes.
Germany.
Whoa, longest distance support right here. You're back home on furlough, but Germany is home. That's awesome. All right, anywhere else that we're missing? All right, so Pennsylvania takes the, all right, Colorado back here, right? We can go to the staff and we can get a little further away, Iowa and other places. Well, I grew up in Chicago, Illinois area, okay, so the suburbs of Chicago there. So I'm a Midwesterner. We enjoy coming out here where it's hilly, and I don't know if you call these hills or mountains. Depends on which part of the country you're from, right, Brother David? These are not mountains if you're from Colorado. It's great to get out here and be in Pennsylvania. And let's take our Bibles tonight, and we're going to go to Proverbs 27 as we begin. Proverbs 27. And I'm excited about everything. Of course, Brother Fry talked about so many of the exciting activities that there are, and you're going to have a great time this week. I know they have much planned for you, as always. Exciting and fun here at Servant's Heart. I've been able to get here a couple other times. And so I have no question about that. But I want you to know we're dead serious about you having the time to meet with God. And so we come to this time around the Word of God and other parts of the day that are structured to help you focus on your relationship with God. We're serious about it. And I hope that you are as well. And I've been praying for you all already. And we'll be continuing to pray for you throughout this week. And I certainly just ask you to open your heart. Not so much to me as a preacher as it is to God and the Word of God. And I'm simply here today to be His mouthpiece. That's my heart. And if you don't remember my name when you leave from this place, I'm okay with that. If you remember what God has done in your life and how He's spoken you through His Word. And so I want to look at your Proverbs chapter 27 tonight. Before we get there, I was driving through last year. We were driving through the panhandle of Texas coming back. We had been out in Arizona and New Mexico and we're kind of on our way coming back over to West Virginia, actually. So on a long road trip. And as you pass through that area of Texas, you see these billboards out there. And on the billboard, they advertise this free 72-ounce steak dinner at the Big Texan Steak Ranch in Amarillo, Texas. All right, 72-ounce steak. Do you realize how big that is? All right. A normal steak is usually 12 to 18 ounces. Right, like an 18-ounce, that's a big steak. Right, that's a good. That's a meal. So a 72-ounce steak is massive. Massive. Okay, it is 4.5 pounds of beef sitting on your plate. And they were saying, they're advertising, you can get this 72-ounce steak dinner for free. Well, I knew there had to be a catch, right? And so you look a little closer. Of course, that's the big letters, and you look really close, pull out your binoculars as you're driving. You can see the tiny print that says, if eaten in 1 hour.
That would be only possible.
You would think so. You would think so. All right. And so that's the deal. That's what they're saying, all right? So if you can eat the entire meal, so that's 4.5 pounds of meat, a baked potato, a salad, and a roll. You can eat all of that in 60 minutes, you get it free. If it takes you 61 minutes, you pay $72. $1 per ounce of steak. All right? That's actually still a pretty decent deal for a steak dinner that size, but anyway. So this is the challenge that they put out that they advertise, all right? And so since they began this challenge in 1960, over 100,000 people have attempted to complete the challenge. And about 10,000 have done it. 10,000 people have been successful. Now get this, the majority of those 10,000 people were women. Women and skinny men. The fat guys cannot do it. Right, this is fact. I'm not making this up. This is fact. You can look it up on their website. The record is held by a woman. A woman named Molly. And Molly ate the entire meal in 4 minutes and 18 seconds. 4 minutes and 18 seconds. Unbelievable. I've seen the picture of Molly. Is there anyone named Molly here this week? You're very ashamed to raise your hand. Now, that's amazing. I mean, honestly, 4 minutes, 18 seconds to eat that entire thing. Unbelievable. But she upped the ante on her record. She went back again. And she ate the entire meal again, but this time not just with one steak.
What?
Not just with two steaks. What? Three 72-ounce steaks. That's 13 and a half pounds of steak. That's more than you weighed when you were born. And she ate all three of those steaks in 20 minutes. I don't know how that's possible, but it's documented fact. Okay. I don't understand if they did. All right. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy. Are you looking at a challenge like that and say, why would a restaurant even make such an offer, right? Why would that be their thing? Of course, it's a big marketing pitch. That's what it is, right? They're trying to make money. I mean, in reality, according to their statistics, over the last 65 years, they have given away somewhere in the ballpark of $720,000 worth of meals. Of steak. Okay, that's almost $750,000 they've given away. But they've made over $6 million on the people who failed. And that doesn't count the people that came along with them to watch them try to do the challenge off their own meal, which is above and beyond that, right? And so it's all a marketing stunt, right? They're trying to get a free meal, and it works. They're trying to attract attention, increase revenue, and boy, it does work. But why? Why does it work? It works because they're counting on the fact that the fuller a person gets, the harder it becomes to take another bite, right? You've had that meal where you just feel like, I've got to finish this because I'm supposed to finish, but I don't want to take another bite. Well, they're counting on that dynamic, that your body is made that way. Like, it's actual physical realities that when you get full, it's harder to take the next bite. And they're forcing you to eat a large amount of food in a short amount of time, so they're pitting you against your own body and saying, hey, we're going to make money off of doing this. Okay? Brilliant marketing is really what it is. Brilliant. But they're saying, listen, if we can get them to the place where they're there and they're thinking, man, I'm going to get this, and they start to do it, and they get to a place where they say, I don't even want another one. Oh, I can't do this. This is too much. Take it away. Now, yeah, there's been 10,000 people who have done it, but I bet you most of those 10,000 people, after they were done, didn't say, boy, I'd love to do that again. Except for Molly. Most of those people probably said, oh man, but that's over. They're not thinking that was such a good steak. I'd love to have another one. More like, I don't want to see steak again for a year. Why? Because when you're stuffed, right? When you aren't hungry anymore, boy, it changes everything, doesn't it? Hunger changes absolutely everything. Now, I want you to look here in Proverbs chapter 27. And here we see this reality articulated in the physical realm, but in a way that highlights an important truth for us in the spiritual realm in our walk with God. But I want to begin our week together here looking at Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 7 says this: the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Can I read that one more time? The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Listen, young people, tonight I want you to see this reality that hunger changes everything in your relationship with God. Hunger changes everything in your relationship with God. No matter where you're at in your Christian journey, young person, I can promise you this: God has more in store for you. He has more of himself that he wants you to know, more of his word that he wants you to understand, more that he longs for you to see and do. But whether or not you step into that amazing more that God has in store for you has everything to do with whether or not you hunger after God. I wonder tonight, are we hungry for God? Let's pray together and we'll look at here tonight the power of hunger. Lord Jesus, we need you in these moments together. Lord, I pray that you would take your word and you would drive this simple truth deep in our hearts. Lord, would you tonight bring us to a place of hungering after you? We trust you for it. We look to you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. But this proverb, like so many, is built on a parallel statement, right? And so it gives one side of it and then another side, and that's Hebrew poetry. It's how it often works. And I want to look at this first side of that. It says here, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. And I want you to understand this, that you need to beware the danger of a lack of hunger. Beware the danger of a lack of hunger. It's interesting here. He says, that which is good can become gross. How can that be? Something good becomes gross because you're not hungry. Now that's what it says here. A full soul loatheth an honeycomb. Do you see what it says? An honeycomb. Now honeycomb, that's something that's sweet, right? It's something good for you. And it points to the fact that God has good things for you. He has good things he wants to do in your life. He has good things he wants you to experience of himself. He has a good plan for your life. And he uses this picture of a honeycomb, not just here, but throughout the scriptures and other places. And it reminds us, see, honey that's fresh, honey from the honeycomb, as it's described here, it's not like the honey that's been sitting in that teddy bear jar in your cupboard for the last 6 months. It tastes different, fresh honey, right? How many of you ever had fresh honey from the honeycomb, right? You know, it's very different from that teddy bear jar. I mean, that stuff's nasty. That's what I grew up on, and so I don't really like honey that much because of that, but my kids love honey. You know why? Because my wife is all about this fresh honey. They literally will just take a spoonful of thing and just eat it. I think it's great. And honey is an amazing thing because not only is it sweet, but it's also good for you, which is really unusual. Usually the sweet stuff isn't good for you. And the good stuff that is good for you is usually the stuff that's good. Right? But that's not honey. Honey is sweet and it's good for you. So it's something that's very valuable. And that's the picture here. Something that is good and healthy and valuable to you. Well, this is a picture that's used throughout the scripture. Psalm 19, in describing the word of God, there says, it's more to be desired than are they than gold, speaking of the words of God. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. So the word of God, it says, it's like this honeycomb to us. It's sweet. It's good for you. It's healthy for you. It's valuable to your life. And the word of God reveals to us the person of God. And certainly, there's nothing sweeter than God himself. And so we find the word of God, the bread of life, good, sweet, and valuable. And there's nothing that is better for you, nothing that is sweeter than to have daily, intimate, fellowship with the God who made you. Nothing better in the world. You were created with an inner craving for God. You've probably heard it said that all of us were made with a God-shaped hole in our hearts, right? Sometimes you hear people say that. What does that even mean? We're not talking about a physical hole. What are we saying? We're saying that everybody has a deep inner craving for fulfillment that can only be satisfied by a relationship with God himself. That's the only way that we can actually truly have satisfaction and fulfillment. And while maybe you know that, you've grown up in church and you've heard that before, you know that we often don't live like that's true. Instead, even as saved people, we join the multitudes of the world trying to find satisfaction and fulfillment in other things. And we run to this thing and to that thing over there. We fill our life up with things. We think this will make me feel satisfied and fulfilled apart from God. And it doesn't work. And why do we do that? Because we don't actually believe that God is what we really need. And so we go to other things. Deep down, we believe that we're going to find greater joy, greater peace, greater purpose in something other than God. And so we get to this place where though we know God is good and he has good things for me, we can despise those good things that God has for us. We can despise the Word of God and God himself. That's what it says here. It says, the full soul loatheth and honeycomb. Now, we don't use that word loatheth very often. Loathes. I mean, it's still occasionally used, but it's not part of our normal conversation, probably. And it's a very vivid word. The verb means to hate or to express extreme disgust for something. And that's certainly what the word means, and that's what this Hebrew word that's used here has, but there's more to it than just that idea of what we have with the English word. It literally is the picture of to tread underfoot. And so the picture is you've got something good, something sweet, something worth having, something valuable, and you say, oh man, just looking at that makes me feel sick. I don't want that. Throw it down and just walk right on over it. I don't want that at all. I don't need that. No way. I'm done with that. We walk all over it. That's the picture of this word. Saying, listen, when you aren't hungry, when your soul is filled, you will take something that is good and cast it away. Despise it. Say, this is worthless to me. I don't want this. I don't like this. I don't need this. It's like a piece of gravel, something to walk on. And I wonder tonight, perhaps that's how some of you are towards God. Towards the Word of God. The things of God. Are you full tonight? Is your heart and soul so filled with stuff that you have no appetite for God and for His Word? Listen, you can be so satisfied with what you have and what you know that you have no desire for the amazing more that God has in store for you. In fact, you can even come to a place where, as a Christian young person, you despise what God has for you. And perhaps you come to camp this week with a heart that says, listen, I think I'm in a pretty good place. I like where I'm at. I'm content. I'm not where I could be, I know. Maybe I'm not on fire for God. I'm not that passionate about it, but I'm okay. I'm comfortable. I'm satisfied staying right here. Listen, with that, you don't be surprised when you find yourself fighting inside, pushing away the very goodness of God. That goodness might come in the form of conviction about sin. That goodness might come in the form of clarity about a step that you need to take. That goodness might come in the form of correction about an area in your life. That goodness might come in the form of a call to surrender your all to Jesus. I don't know what that goodness, what it might look like actually in your life, but I know this, you have a good God who's designed to do good things in your life, and so he's going to seek even this week to bring those good things to you, to lead you there. But if you're satisfied with where you are, you can say, listen, I don't want that. I don't want what God wants to give me. I don't want his goodness. I'm just not hungry right now. Could that be? Could that be you, even here tonight? Listen, many of you feel like probably you've had your fill of spiritual things. You go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you do some sort of daily personal devotions, your parents require you to do that. If your family does a family devotional time, you probably memorize parts of the Bible. Now you're here at a camp where you're going to spend more time in the Bible. We're going to have chapel sessions and Bible memory and cabin devotions and people challenge you about your work walk with God. And, God's wanting to speak to you, but if you're not careful, you can approach this week with somebody saying, listen, I'm full. I'm here, but I don't really want to take another bite. I'm here, but don't expect me to make a major decision. I'm just not hungry right now. I'm just here. I'm along for the ride, for the good time. Listen, God's heart is to speak to you, to change you, to draw you closer to himself. Or are you so full that you're going to despise it? You're going to throw away the opportunity to experience the sweetness of fellowship with Jesus because you're just not hungry. We despise that honeycomb, the good thing God wants to give us. If I'm honest, which I try to be, I don't really like honey. I mentioned that before. And part of that's probably just because of the teddy bear jar, okay? But I think another big part of it probably is because over just my growing up and the things I had, my palate is very much more accustomed to artificial sweetness, okay? Skittles and Starburst and Sour Patch Kids and fill it in, man. That's just the stuff that has the dye that will kill you. That's the stuff. And that's, I so filled over the years my palate with that artificial sweetness, right? They're very sugary and very sweet. It's not good for you at all. That now I actually, my taste buds are so accustomed that I don't really enjoy the flavor and sweetness of honey. Even the good stuff. It's like, okay. You know, that can happen to us in our spiritual life. We can so stuff our soul with the junk of this world that seems to satisfy, that seems to taste good for a time, but ends up leaving us where we no longer have an appetite, a taste for the things of God. The things that are truly good for us. And our spiritual palate becomes so accustomed to things that are not helpful for us spiritually, that even when we're away from those things, maybe like in a week of camp where you can't be involved in those things and it's not there, those things are still filling your mind and filling your heart and your desire, and they've got a hold on you. So you don't really have a desire for that which is truly good. In fact, maybe you despise it. No doubt some of you here, good as week, you've come to camp with a heart that is saturated with pleasure and entertainment, with a mind filled with lust and impurity, with a soul fixated on the things of this world. Movies you watch, YouTube channels you follow, TikTok people you subscribe to, Instagram, whatever on social media, video games that you fill hours of your life with, music that you listen to, other things that you just, boy, you pour your life into. Sports, guns, relationships, an instrument maybe you play, whatever it is, you just filled your life so much with those things, and that's what saturates. You're just constantly thinking about those things, and so you don't have a taste for the things of God because you're full. You're full. And part of a week like this is by design to help you maybe step away from some of those things that you fill your life with, and maybe just give a little space for you to maybe have a moment to let God give him just a little bit of attention, and maybe find out that what you really need is actually God. But you know, you can sit here and even in the midst of all that design and still have a mind that is just so set there that you're just still filling yourself with the things you had last week in that arena. And I'm not hungry for God. I don't want anything. I'm full. When I traveled on an ensemble in college, years ago now, we're staying at a church in Ohio, and a pastor's home there, and we had ministered there on Sunday, and we were going to another church nearby on Wednesday, and so the pastor had kind of arranged us. We were still staying at the other church, but we went over to that church on that Wednesday night, and did the service there, and then afterwards they had prepared a full fried chicken dinner for us. And can I tell you, it was probably some of the best fried chicken I've ever had in my life. It was amazing. And so guess what? It was eight of us guys on the team. So it was a large group, a group of eight guys, and we filled up. I mean, because it was good fried chicken. And we had that whole meal, stuffed ourselves, and it was one of those things where just like, no, you need more. You need more. Here, have another one. And so you can't say no, you know. Yeah. So finally, we got to the place where we had to say no, like, okay, we're stuffed. I don't want another bite, right? Full. We hop in the car, drive 45 minutes, whatever it was, back to the pastor's home where we were staying. And we got in the car, and we could smell the grill. Somehow they didn't realize that the church was going to feed us. And so they had a full meal ready for us when we got back to the house. Grilled burgers and all the fixings and everything. Apple pie, I think, if I remember right. Just like they had a full meal for us. And of course, I mean, we're representing college. We can't be like, oh, we know you made this nice meal for us, but we're not going to eat any of it. No, we all look at each other and say, all right, guys, we know what we have to do. And so we went in, full of fried chicken, and we all got a burger and loaded it up and stuffed it down. And then looked at each other and said, somebody has to go back for a second. We were miserable. I'm telling you, it was awful. Because we were full. We were full. And we didn't want to, and so we got to a place where I didn't enjoy the burger. It was probably a fantastic burger. I didn't enjoy it. Because I was so full. Listen, some of you, that is who you are tonight. Your life, you're so full, and you come to a week like this, and God wants to speak. He's got good things he wants to give you, but right now, you're just full and satisfied, saying, this is where you're at this place. You say, I'm going to despise that honeycomb, the good that God has for you. Well, listen, beware of the danger of a lack of hunger. That which is good can become gross to you. That which is the very best can become something you say, no. Now, there's another side to this verse I want you to see. Because not only do we need to beware the danger of a lack of hunger, but we need to, number two, embrace the sweetness of a life of hunger. Embrace the sweetness of a life of hunger. But to the hungry soul, it says, every bitter thing is sweet. Every bitter thing is sweet. You see, instead of that which is good becoming gross, we see here that which is bitter can become sweet in our life. Wasn't that interesting? You see, God wants to take that which seems to you right now to be something bitter, to be something like distasteful, like I don't really want that. He wants to turn that into something sweet that you cherish. You say, oh, the best thing I ever had. You see, when you're stuffed and you're satisfied, you despise even that which is good and desirable and healthy. But when you're truly hungry, listen, you'll take anything you can get your hands on and enjoy it. Right? That's why you see homeless people digging through dumpsters. Because they just want something, anything. They're so hungry. When I was, shortly after we were married, my wife and I were over in Cameroon, West Africa. And while we were there for 8 weeks, something like that. And over the course of the time, my wife was expecting our second child and really wanted some chocolate. Can you believe that, ladies? All right. Wanted some chocolate. Well, we were over there. They don't have Hershey's chocolate in West Africa. I'm just telling you. They don't have, what are the others? The actual good chocolate, not the Hershey's. I mean, Pennsylvania. All right. But we were there, and the missionary there said, oh, we've got this chocolate that's made right here in Cameroon. We'll get some for you. It's great. You guys will love it. And so they got these. They're called Mambo bars. And we got these Mamba bars, got them thinking, hey, okay, this actually isn't too bad. We've been there for several weeks by then. And they're all, okay, I'm glad this is all right. And kind of satisfied that craving for my wife. And so as we were getting ready to leave, we were thinking, okay, what are we going to bring back for, you know, family members and all those kind of things. So we thought, hey, let's get a box of those Mamba bars and bring them back. They're not expensive. It's perfect thing to take back. So we got the box of these things, brought them back. Hey, we brought you back some chocolate from Africa. And gave them out. They started, you know, family members took them and took a bite and said, this really isn't very good. I'm like, really? It tasted great over there. No, it really isn't very good. You're right. But boy, it sure tasted fantastic when we were there. Why? Can I tell you why? Hunger. Okay, hunger for chocolate, whatever, but not a perfect illustration. But desire. We didn't have anything like that. And there was a longing for it. So you know what? Something that actually was really pretty bitter from a chocolate standpoint, not super sweet. Boy, it tasted sweet. It tasted fantastic to us. Now, that's a poor illustration because what God is offering us is not something that actually isn't very good. It's the very best. But it doesn't always seem like it's the best to us. Something that's bitter, boy, it seems like, I don't know if I really want that. If I actually surrender to God and what He has for my life, boy, I'm going to have to end up doing stuff I don't want to do. Be in places where I don't want to be. That seems like bad to me. Well, listen, remember, bitter doesn't necessarily mean bad. It doesn't. And oftentimes, there's things we think of, we think, oh, this is going to be something that's going to be bad for me, something that's going to be bitter, and that actually, it actually isn't. We find out as we hunger after God, that He turns those things that we thought, oh, this is going to be rough, into something very sweet. What's the promise of hunger that we find? Hey, the bitter thing will be made sweet. We look throughout Scripture. We see in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God promises to fill us when we hunger, to satisfy us. You see, sometimes there's things that we think are going to be bitter, but when we actually experience them, we find out that they're sweet. And every bitter moment in life is an opportunity to experience the goodness of God. He is a master at turning the bitter things into some of the sweetest moments of your life. Listen, can I tell you, some of you, I don't know what's happened in your life, but I can almost guarantee that there's some of you sitting here today that you're facing some pretty bitter things right now. Some difficult things. Things you feel like, boy, this is rough. Can I tell you, if you'll choose in these moments that seem so bitter to hunger after God, to trust in Him, to seek Him, as yes, you taste these bitter, difficult moments, can I tell you, He can turn those bitter moments into the sweetest moments of your life, where you turn around and say, boy, I found out what God meant when He said in Psalm 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Boy, I found out what God meant when He said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Found out that what God said is true when He said that He satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Listen, young people, Jesus satisfies like nothing else. See, Jesus satisfies in a way that leaves you wanting more. Not because you're unfulfilled, but because what you just experienced was so good, you said, I've got to have more of that. I've got to have more of Jesus. I want more of Him. He nourishes your soul. He's not like that sugar rush that you get that's so good and then leaves you feeling, ugh, shouldn't have had all that. No. He doesn't leave that sick feeling in your stomach. He fills you with joy and confidence that there is more joy to be found as you learn to walk with Him. We'll just hunger after Him. So what does that mean, Brother Mueller? You say you've got to hunger after God. I want you to see the posture of hunger here. To be hungry is simply to recognize and admit your need. It's not a complicated thing. Hungering after God is having a heart that cries out saying, God, God, I need you more than anything else today. God, I want you more than anything else in life. God, it doesn't matter what it takes or what it means in my life. I got to know what it means for you to be real, for you to satisfy, for you to fill me. God, I need you to keep speaking to me. God, I need you to use your word to change me, to break the hardness of my heart, to keep me close to you. God, my heart is craving you at work, you on the move in my life. I'm longing for you, God. I wonder, is that how you approach your relationship with God? Is that your attitude towards the things of God, towards the Word of God? Oh God, I've got to know more of you. But more often, it's just duty. I read my Bible because I'm supposed to. And I do it and I hope I can find something interesting, something I haven't thought about before. I tell you, if you'll simply say, God, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to your word. I'm coming to this chapel time. I'm coming to this cabin devotion. God, I need you to do something in my life. God, I want to get to know you more. I need you. My heart longs for you. I tell you, that changes everything. Because God promises to fill a longing soul with goodness. So, well, how do I make myself hungry, Brother Mueller? I feel like I'm kind of that full person. Like, how do I get hungry? Well, in the physical realm, you know what you have to do to get hungry? Don't eat anything for a while. Right? You don't have to try to get hungry if you just stop feeding yourself. And in the spiritual realm, certainly that can be a dynamic of it. There's things maybe we need to stop feeding ourselves with. And I'm not talking necessarily about physical food. I'm talking about some of those things that we just, boy, that's what we love and fill our life with, our thoughts with. Maybe we need to set those aside for a time. And we feel like camp can be good for that. Okay, when a sponge is saturated with water, it can't absorb anything else until that water is wrung out, right? You've got to let some of those things be gone. There certainly is that dynamic. And it may be that tonight there's some of you that there's, you know, there's some things that you've been filling your life with that ought not be there. And you need to take the step to just actually say, I've got to get this out of my life. And that first step is, well, get right about this. Talk to a counselor. I need to call home and talk to parents. I need to get this thing out of my life because it's been filling me and it's not good. That may be the first step that some of you need to take. Okay, but ultimately, in the spiritual realm, hunger is a choice. It's not a feeling that we have. It's not even the result of circumstances in our life, though God uses all of those things. But ultimately, hunger is a choice to say, God, I don't necessarily feel full right now, but God, I'm going to choose to hunger after you how I need you. And even if tonight you came in and spiritually you were just bloated, you were in that place of a full soul, you can walk out tonight and say, God, I don't feel it right now, but God, I want to choose right now to hunger after you. I'm coming, I need you. Well, God has an amazing way of helping us, of making us hungry for Him. We'll simply choose to say, you know what, God, I'm going to respond to you. Whether I feel like it or not. Say, Brother Bill, I'm not there. I'm full. I'm not hungry for God tonight. So does that mean this is just going to be a waste of time for me? I just need to sit back and what's the point of anything? I'm just going to kind of not expect God to do. No, listen. You might not be hungry for God tonight, but I love the words in Ephesians chapter 2 where it tells us, but God, who is rich in mercy. And though you might not be hungering after God tonight, but you might come in here and you say, no, I don't want anything to do with God. I'm here because I'm made to be here, whatever it is. God is rich in mercy. And He's still on the move in the hearts of men. And can I tell you this? He is seeking you tonight, even if you aren't seeking Him. And He is hungering after a relationship with you, even if you aren't hungering after a relationship with Him. His heart is longing for you tonight. He is craving fellowship with you, even as you sit back fat and satisfied without him. And that God who wants that relationship with you will not sit idly by. And I can guarantee you that even if you say, well, I'm full, I'm not desiring you from God, God's going to be knocking on your door at some point this week because he wants you. The question is, will we respond to him? And can I tell you how much more could God do in your life if you would make that choice to hunger after him? Hunger changes everything in your relationship with God. Listen, this isn't just about the week at camp. This is about a way of living. Do you live hungry for God? I found in my own life that there are times when I realize, you know, I've just gotten a little bit cold, distracted by other things, filled up with the busyness of life and the things, and satisfied with this and that, and come to a place where I realize, oh God, I've lost my hunger for you. And in those moments, we can either say, well, I guess that is what it is. Or we can get on our face and say, oh, God, I need you. Oh, God, would you do something in my life? I wonder, what could God do in your life this week if you just get hungry? I tell you, you have no idea what the answer is to that question. You have no clue. Because the thoughts that God has towards you are so good, you can't even comprehend them. So why not get hungry? Well, why not find a place tonight, as we go to quiet reflection, perhaps if you need to talk to a counselor, but find a place where you can get with God and cry out, saying, God, I want you to work in my life this week. God, I need you to speak to me. I want you to change me. I need you to move in my heart. God, I don't want to despise when you speak to me. I don't want to push it away. I don't want to throw that off. I'm empty and I need to be filled. Oh, God, I want the more that you have in store for me. Hunger changes everything in your relationship with God. Well, the full soul loatheth and honeycomb. May that not be you. To the hungry soul, that every bitter thing is sweet. Listen, God wants to take the things that right now you fear. You think, if I say yes to God, I'm going to end up there. He wants to transform those things to be things that you are so excited about. You think there's no way. Oh yeah, there's a way. God can do that. If you'll just say yes to him, if you'll just hunger after him. Let's bow our heads to pray. In a moment, we're going to go to the quiet reflection time, and I know a message like this, many could raise a hand and say, I need to hunger after God more. I don't hunger after him like I ought to, and certainly I pray that you'll take that time that we have to cry out to God, to make that choice to say, God, I'm hungering after you this week. The best I know how, I'm setting my heart to seek you. But I wonder tonight, even as we begin, perhaps tonight you're here and you say, I'm that full soul. Yeah, I filled my life with junk. And that's why I don't hunger after God. And God's dealing with me already. And there's a step I need to take. I need to talk with someone. There's some things I need to just get honest. Get on the table. This is what I've been filling my life with. And that's why I don't have a heart for God. And even as we begin on this first night, you'd say with an uplifted hand, that's me. God's dealt with me. That there's some things that need to be taken care of. I see it already. I know it. It's keeping me from hungering after God. I filled my life with it. It's not good for me. Amen. I encourage you. In a moment, we'll give you an opportunity. Go talk with a counselor. Hey, just take this step right away. That's a step of hungering after God, too. Of dealing with those things. And there'll certainly be more opportunity for that in in the days ahead that we have together. But listen, why wait? Why not choose tonight? Say, I want God more than I want this thing, this junk. I want to get to that place where I want God and God alone. Lord Jesus, would you help us in this time of invitation? Help us as we seek to respond to you. Whatever you'd help many to cry out tonight. Oh God, I need you to do something in my life this week. Even if they don't feel it, Lord, would you give them grace, whether they feel it or not, to make the choice to say, I want to be hungry for God. So help us now, I pray in your name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.